Good. Yeah, we're up. It's Fairfield County Live and Local presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. I'm hanging out with Jeff Arevalo, who I recently realized I've been pronouncing his name wrong all week promoting this interview. Jeff, first of all, my apologies. And second, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you're a multi-instrumentalist. You know, you've been around the Connecticut music scene forever, and you're playing with Goose right now. I don't want to bury the lead, but there's been, like, you know, some debate and ambiguity. Are you the official fifth member of Goose?
That's what the bio says. So that's what I'm going by.
I love it. That's cool, because now I can use this fun little banner that I made and Perfect. Not be alone. So that's good. So official fifth member of Goose, dude. How have the last couple of months been? I mean, I want to go back and talk about you as a musician, but it's been crazy in the music scene in Connecticut, at least. What's it been like for you guys with things opening back up?
Just staying busy, you know, trying to work hard and get everything in order, get all of our ducks in a row, you know, focusing on the music and trying to plan everything correctly, you know. So just preparing.
You guys have a lot going on. You've got the new album, Shenanigans Nightclub, is coming out tomorrow. Fred the Festival, which we got to talk about at some point later on today. It was just announced yesterday, August 20th through the 22nd. Tickets going to be available tomorrow for that. You guys have a ton going on, but before we get into that, I mean, you know, tell me about you, dude. Take me through your musical journey. When did you first pick up an instrument?
So, funny story, started pretty young. Must have been maybe eight years old, something like that. And I started on a guitar. My brother and my dad play guitar, and so they bought me a guitar. And I remember I had an acoustic first, and one day I just decided to tighten the strings until it ripped the bridge off the body. and then I went back to playing outside, you know, falling off my bike and stuff.
That's awesome. I'm surprised you ripped the bridge before you broke the string, though. That's impressive. You must have done it evenly.
Yeah, I must have not been glued on very well.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too.
But yeah, and then about 8 years later, they bought me a set of congas. So I studied lots of traditional rhythms for a couple years, and then I was sitting there with my brother's band playing percussion, and then they bought me a drum set, and then I quickly became a professional drummer, working almost every night as a teenager. Down in Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah.
So I was very, very lucky and blessed and fortunate to having grown up in that scene and being able to just start playing immediately.
That's so, like, I almost feel like I didn't do my homework properly, because I first knew you as a bass player. That's the first time. We met in person very, very briefly, summer of 2019, when I came and saw you guys at Tribus. It was you and Rick and Peter.
Yes.
And maybe it was in May, because you were all wearing sombreros. So I want to say it might have been Cinco de Mayo. But I saw you playing, and not just like bass, but like stand up bass, which is not an easy instrument. I didn't realize you'd started as a percussionist, though. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there was the guitar thing. I famously learned how to play Wild Thing. It was the first song I learned how to play on guitar, and I sang it, and I tried out for the talent show, and they wanted me to, like, open up for my rivals who put together like a Beatles outfit. And I was like, I was already a star. I was like, I'm not opening up for anybody.
That's right. You knew your worth. Don't ever sell yourself short.
So playing drums, went to Berkeley. That's where I met Rick. And it wasn't until then that I took the bass seriously. And then took a break from school in the year 2011 and just focused mainly on bass. And then, so that May show, I think I got my upright up here a week or two before that.
Yeah.
It was kind of last minute. I found out I could rent one for really cheap and, pulled the trigger. I'd been playing my brothers in the past. And so that was really fun to play at Tribus.
What attracts you to the rhythm section? Because, you know, a conga player, drummer, bass player, what, you know, everybody wants to play the melody instruments. Everybody wants to sing. Everybody wants to have the look at me aspect of it all. What attracts you to being in the rhythm section?
First of all, just being surrounded by so many talented musicians. Raised by my father, who's a talented musician, my brother, who's a very serious instrumentalist. And then just sort of happened, you know. It's like if you're a percussionist, you can sit in with any band. And as a drummer, I fell in love with the bass. So I really like supporting the music and, not necessarily, you know, hogging the limelight. I really do just appreciate supporting others.
So tell me about playing. Well, you know, your early experiences playing with Rick and Ben, you said, right? Was that Berkeley at that time? Did you guys immediately have a musical connection, or was it just kind of playing around each other in different bands and just getting to know each other?
It was like the second week of school. Rick and I had a harmony class together at like 9 a.m. And I must have been a smart ass like immediately, because he's like, all right, this kid's cool.
This dude, yeah. So
we started hanging out immediately, and I feel like it wasn't but a few weeks later that Trevor actually came to Boston, and the three of us you would rent rehearsal rooms essentially through the school to practice. Mm-hmm. And we jammed for 2 hours and made, you know, beautiful music with you know, with just our ears. We just made it all up and had a blast. And that was kind of how our relationship started right out of the gate.
What was your vision musically when you were at Berkeley? Were you thinking you were going to go in the band direction? Were you thinking composition? You know, what was the goal?
Originally, I went there thinking about music production and engineering, because my family ran several recording studios. Over the years. And so I thought I was going to, you know, be on that side of the glass. And I'd actually studied with our engineer and stuff. And I realized that I had much more fun being on the other side, being the performer, being the musician than the person recording them. Yeah. So it wasn't until I took a break. I went year round twice there. I went 4 semesters. So fall, spring, summer, and then fall. I took a year and a half off to figure out what I wanted to do. Played a lot of bass, did some national tours, and then I decided that music business. I changed my degree to music business, and I was able to actually finish all the curriculum in my last 4 semesters there.
Oh, so you got the degree?
I did. I actually have a very expensive piece of paper somewhere.
That's a Berkeley rarity. Well done, dude. Very well done.
I like to joke that I majored in student debt.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah. As you know, as did we all. I have a liberal arts degree, dude. Listen, you want to talk about an expensive piece of paper? I majored in English. I majored in a language that I speak naturally. But so that first jam with Rick and Trevor, I mean, that's basically early Vasudo at that point, because you guys were you a founding member of Vasudo? And
no.
By the way, for people who may be watching Vasudo earlier iteration of what became Goose, it was Rick, Trevor, and you were going to explain the rest. So I'm sorry, keep going.
You're good. No, I think that I was the third and fifth drummer of Vasudo.
so I think Spinal Tap thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think there was at least two Bens in the band, if not three. But so Rick was guitar, Trevor was bass. The keyboard player goes by the name of Matt Campbell. We love Matt, and he'll be nice. At Fred the Festival. And our friend Chris Reed played percussion in that. So I was in the band, and I believe that Ben Spuds Atkin was in the band in the interim. So I think he was the fourth drummer. I was the third and fifth.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. What's that? So we talked about Fred the Festival a little bit earlier, and we'll get in detail with that. But Vasudo is playing at Fred. What's that lineup of musicians going to look like? Because you've got options, clearly.
Yeah, pretty similar. It's myself, Rick, Trevor, Matt Campbell, and Peter. Peter is gonna join us on keyboards also. He's officially in the band.
Nice. Well, yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Cat's out of the bag.
Oh, cat's out of the bag. There it is. That's an exclusive. That's a live and local exclusive. We're gonna see Peter playing with Fasuto at Fred's.
Yep.
So let's talk about how you got involved with Goose. And we're skipping, I realize, like a decade of your life to do that. But like, you know, quarantine happened and Bingo Tour was one of the most, I'm not nearly the first person to say this, one of the most ingenious workarounds to the situation that we all found ourselves in. You had put out, you know, you were in some acoustic videos playing bass that were up on YouTube that were really popular. Like I said, I had seen you play bass with Peter and Rick before. So you weren't an unknown commodity to Goose's wider fan base. But how did you become involved in playing with them for every set for all of Bingo Tour? Basically, how did your involvement in Bingo Tour happen?
So we were fortunate to get a house together in November of 2019. So we were all living together. And when the guys came home, you know, when quarantine happened and they had to basically cancel their tour and come home, you know, we had a lot of time together. It was time for us to, well, time for them to finish the album, which just came out, and figure out what was going to be next. And so we started doing the acoustic things because we knew we could do it from the house because we were all living together. There was no problem there. And then Peter was actually doing some mixing, and I believe it was a Vasuto show that he was working on a mix for, and someone sat in on percussion, and he just loved what a sit-in on percussion added, and it started his brain thinking, and he was like, why don't we have Jeff play percussion in the band? And it was like, I think it was April. It was one of the April Solarium sessions we did acoustic, and we were rehearsing, you know, I had the upright and everything, and then they just kind of were like, yeah, what do you think about playing percussion with Goose? And I was just kind of like blindsided by it. I didn't see it coming, and we just kind of went back to rehearsing, and like a week later I was like, were you guys serious about that?
Yeah, right.
And then you know, the wheels were turning with Bingo Tour, and they were like, this is a great chance for him to you know, get his feet wet. And so I got my hands on some more hand drums and started practicing. And here we are. It's been a year.
How do you work your way into some of those songs? Because, you know, I mean, for people who have followed the band for a long time, some of those songs are hits. Like, did your parts come organically just through jamming with the guys, or was there, or did you come into some songs with a plan?
Some of them, you know, it's really easy to hear. I feel like in some songs you can hear the congas even when they're not there, just like, you know, buried in the rhythm that's happening, maybe with the keyboards or the guitar. And then a lot of it was just direction from the guys, you know, like, you know, what are you hearing here? How can I add to this song? And, you know, now that I've had some more experience, you know, Bingo Tour was my first time playing all these tunes, and we're playing them in a random order, and like,
right. Of course, because it's an unpredictable. Oh shit! Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It was really difficult for a first show to just, you know, pull songs randomly.
Yeah.
So my parts have, I would like to think that they've come a long way since then, and now I can just sort of switch what I'm doing in the moment, based on what I think the music needs at that time.
So was that initial conversation, was that an invitation to join the band straight out, or was that like, hey, you should just come jam with us sometimes?
I think it was both. Okay. I think it was, you know, an invitation to join the band, you know, disguised as let's see how this works.
Right. So how does that work? I'm so curious about that, because I played in bands for like 20 years. Like, I've joined a lot of bands. I've started bands. I've gotten fired from bands. I've fired other people from bands. Like, never have any of these bands been making real money or, like, you know, had any large amount of fans or any kind of fan base. What's the biggest difference between, because I'm sure you've played in a bunch of bands before too, right? I mean, you've toured all over the place. What's the biggest difference between joining just your average garage band and joining an established act?
You know, the biggest difference is the fans.
Right.
You know, and it was really hard to, you know, join so many people's favorite band. Like it was a lot of pressure, you know, like, oh, who's this guy? Like, you know, I prefer the old Goose or whatever. So there was a lot of pressure to perform. But at the same time, you know, so rewarding because of just the community and all the things that our fans have done for us. Right. They've given back in so many ways. So, you know, double-edged sword.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, dude. You know, the negative stuff always sticks out to you the most, but from all the research I've done, the feedback has really just been almost nothing but positive. I haven't seen any detractors on there. And it makes sense because, dude, I think you mentioned it before, Peter, realizing how much percussion adds to a band. Can you talk about that for a second? Because it seems like it's like, oh, what, are you gonna play the tambourine? Like, no, dude, there's a layer that percussion adds to it. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what that is?
Yeah. And so I'm fortunate to be a multi-instrumentalist. So I've played in bands from different chairs. You know, I've played drums in bands, I've played bass in bands, I've played guitar in bands, I've played percussion in bands. And so I know what it's like for each role, to perform each role. And as a drummer, when you have a percussionist working with you, when you have someone else to, like, that is committed to the time and the groove and the feel, it makes your job so much easier.
Really?
Like the weight is just lifted off your shoulders. So Ben doesn't have to worry about the time as much. Cause I got him. He knows that I'm right here playing. We're gonna lock it down. So it, you know, it takes the pressure off him.
And it's funny because you would think it'd be conflicting, but it makes sense. Like, as a guitar player, anytime there's a second guitar or a piano, another melody instrument, I'm like, oh, thank God, I don't have to be all of the noise that's on stage right now. But yeah, sorry, continue. It makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, and it goes for all the other instruments too. You know, a lot of times, you know, I can lock in with Peter on things, or I can lock in with Trevor on things he's doing, and then the singing aspect. You know, if I'm singing harmonies, does the same thing vocally. So it's just it's a lot more fun, and it's just, I think it's more interactive when you have more people.
So. The album Shenanigans Nightclub, it's out tomorrow, and I was lucky enough to get an early copy, and we've all heard So Ready and Matavan and Dark Horse at this point. If you're a fan of the band, you have at least. But tell me about your involvement in this record, because you have a unique perspective. You came into it late in the game when a lot of it had already been created. Tell me about your involvement in it and your contribution to it.
Yeah, so like I was saying, quarantine hit and we were all living together. So Rich basically went to work on this album, because, you know, it was written, recorded, and produced mostly by him at home. So the studio was kind of, you know, near my bedroom. So I was always there. And one day he was like, can you double this part? And this was before he asked, you know, they asked me to play percussion or anything. So before
you're even playing with him. Yeah.
Yeah. So before I was even, you know, did anything with the band, I was, you know, contributing to the album. And, you know, that went on for, almost a year. So I was there involved, you know, helping Rich record things, adding drums and percussion parts, some vocals, and then assisting him doing the same thing. And Peter as well, he was all there. So it was really cool to come in and be a part of that.
So you got to, I mean, you're in the bones of this thing, which is so cool. I remember hearing first So Ready, and then when Madhavan came out, and thinking to myself, and I don't want to ruin songs that haven't gotten released yet, but those two are out. The intros to both of them start with this, like, with this awesome, you know, just hand percussion sound and everything like that. Is that your like contribution right there? Or was that something that had been there before? Cause my first thought was like, oh, okay, they got Jeff now. So they're they're bringing this in.
You know, I think on both of those tracks, it's actually all Ben.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not even, that's not my part, but I think he borrowed some of my cowbells for one of those. So
see that, so right? So it counts, you're in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool though, man. So it's not just new guy comes in and the album is done. You were a part of this thing from, if not its inception, certainly from when, you know, it started to become the primary focus.
So cool. I got to help them complete it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's better for it. You know, if you're not a fan of Goose and you're watching this right now, check them out and buy this album when it comes out tomorrow, because it's amazing. And if you are a fan of Goose, you've bought this thing already, so I'm not even going to bother. But Fred, the festival, is the latest news to come out from you guys in a month that's been full of nothing but big news. It's the latest news to come out from you guys. Tell me about this thing. There's so many great artists on it, but I want to hear about it from you. Tell me about Fred the Festival.
Yeah, really, really exciting. And it happened really quickly. It was like a possibility, and then it became a reality in what seemed like 2 weeks. It wasn't until, you know, a couple days later that I saw the lineup and I was like, oh,
right,
Acoustic Trio, great. So, yeah, you know,
which is you, right? That's you on stand up bass, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes we go by the name Arabalo, but Acoustic right. Trio is maybe more descriptive to the people that don't know what it is.
Fair enough.
So yeah, super excited. We heard Dawes was going to be involved early on, so I was very excited because I'm a big fan of theirs, and Dr. Dog too.
Yep.
And then Elephant Proof is a band that Ben Atkin is in with a couple other guys, and I think they have some new music coming out. So I mean, it's just surreal. You know, I've never been to Lock-In, and for this to happen and us being like, you know, headlining a festival there, it's just like, just blindsided by it.
Yeah.
Just like they asked me to join the band, it's like, what? Like, pinch me.
And to put it together so quickly, I mean, I don't know how much of a, how in the organizational process you are, but can you just describe the madness that must have been to put something like this together in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it was just an endless stream of emails and phone calls. And, you know, it was announced yesterday and tickets are on sale tomorrow. It's a blur. Yeah.
I'm so excited for it, dude. I'm excited for Corey Wong, too. I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge Wolfpack fan, and I love the stuff that he's done on his own. So if there's any of my fellow Wolfpack fans out there, Corey Wong is also going to be at Fred's Festival, 20th through the 22nd. Dude, you know, I'm pumped for Westville. And for people who may not know, I've actually got some exciting news for Westville. If you listen this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox, I'm giving away a pair of tickets to the Sunday show on 6:13. I've heard a bunch of rumors about this show, man. It's a homecoming gig for you guys. Two nights in a row, new venue, you know, COVID restrictions lifted, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows why this summer and why a show like this with a Connecticut band is such a big deal. What do you got? What can you tell me about what you guys might have planned for those two nights?
I can tell you that it is an incredible venue. If you haven't gone yet, get there. Keith and Dave have just done an amazing job with the place. I lived in New Haven for 2 years, and I used to drive by this place all the time. Yeah. And I never imagined a concert being there. And now, you know, we get to play there for two nights. Just really, really excited, you know, to have that be our hometown show is just, you know, a dream come true. It's unreal. So we're just very excited. That's all I can tell you.
Right. And I'm going to throw Doughy Joey a bone and say that the after party is going to be at Stella Blues too. Although, man, Doughy, I don't know. You're taking risks posting that, man. How big is Stella Blues capacity? This thing is going to be nuts. Jeff, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to me tonight, dude. I appreciate it. I'm such a fan of the work that all of you guys have done. And I know that this is a crazy time for you guys. So to sit down and to take a little time out of your day, I do appreciate, bro.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, man. Stick around after I pull us off the live broadcast for a quick sec. But for people who are watching, this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox, you can listen to most of, not the entire, Shenanigans Nightclub because it's too long. I have an hour of airtime. I'm going to do what I can, but we're going to spin as much of Shenanigans Nightclub as we can Sunday night, 9 p.m. If you live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, you can go to 95.9 FM. And if you live outside of that area, 959thefox.com. You can stream the entire thing. I'm going to be doing a ticket giveaway as well. You can win two tickets to the Westville show on 6/13. Jeff, thanks again, man.
Thank you.